This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2271. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded November 28th, Benin, Canada, China, Cuba, Ethiopia, Germany, Indonesia, Italy, Kaliningrad, Marshall Islands, Mexico, Myanmar, North America, Russia, Spain, Sweden, Turkey, USA, Venezuela, Western Sahara, SWL Fest, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, Tony Rogers forwards a new schedule for TWR Africa to the British DX Club. That includes their medium-wave transmitters in Benin, 1566 kHz and 1476. It's possible to DX these in North America direct, at least during the morning when there's a darkness path. However, I've not had a trace of 1566 lately, and here's why. Schedule shows effective November 17th. It's on the air only in the local evenings. 1476, however, is on the air in the mornings, but Monday through Friday only, starting at 0419 UT until 0646 in Hausa and Igbo. They may play a recognizable TWR interval signal at sign-on 0419. I've tried but not been able to hear it yet lately. Thanks to wintry propagation conditions, we may again hear the two Canadian Coast Guard marine weather frequencies on the 2 MHz band. Not many of them are active any longer, but these are. They're 2749 USB in the Nova Scotia area and 2598 USB in the Newfoundland area. Each frequency is occupied by several different stations and transmitter sites in a timeshare arrangement. The full details can be found at www.ccg-gcc.gc.ca and look through their publications. They are by an automated female voice and are in English and or French. They take a break for a few hours in the middle of the night, but on November 26th, I was hearing the first broadcast of the day on 2749 from VCS in Sydney via Port Caledonia, Nova Scotia, and on 2598 from 0737 VCP from St. Lawrence, Newfoundland, actually originating at Placentia. Earlier that same UT date, Doug White in North Carolina was hearing the final broadcasts of the day on 2749, Halifax, until 0306. China, Ralphus W. Perry in Illinois reports on 7210, PBS Yunnan, via Kunming. The minority service programming, always a fun listen, he says. Quite a nice signal on November 23rd, with funky exotic chanting at 1317. Very repetitive with single bassy harmonium-sounding organ tone backing him. Then at 1321 a song with flutes accompanying, then very rustic, wild-sounding flute and whistle interplay music. Surprisingly, hams were not much problem. This was best heard on lower sideband, and no interference from Vietnam, which might be on the same frequency. Cuba has a problem getting any transmitters on the air lately, but the CRI relay is showing up, but on the wrong frequency in the season. 9790 kHz is still on the air. That's the A24 frequency. It's still registered 5910 for the B24 season. There's English at 0300. However, on November 24th at 335, it was just barely modulated with a fairly strong signal. The next night it was better, November 25th, but still with subtorted, that is, suppressed and distorted modulation in English. Something's always wrong at Radio Cuba. And the Radio Rebelde transmitter on 5025 was on as of November 23rd at 0730 after missing several days, weaker than before, however. By November 24th, it was gone again, no signal. And it was back on November 28th. And then there's the incompetent Dentro Cuban jamming command. November 24th at 0330, I found some unusually wideband pulse jamming centered on 7335, plus or minus 5 kHz, but that's where Radio Marti is not, on 7355 instead currently, and 7435 where no jamming was audible. Speaking of Marti, it's occupying 6030 over here, but Ron Howard in California, using remote receivers as always now, this time one in Kenya, was hearing Ethiopia on 6030 at 1858 UT, November 21st. It's Radio Oromia with some nice Horn of Africa music and singing, a clear ID at 1901. He says, happy to be able to enjoy this type of music again. An updated schedule of Texas Radio Shortwave via Channel 292 Germany in early December. On the 7th at 22 UT on 3955 for Europe. On the 8th at 02 and 04 for North America, East and West, respectively, on 9670. And then at 13 UT December 8th on 9674 Europe. Listening via remote in Bandung, Ron Howard reports the Voice of Indonesia, Channel 1, 4755, coming on the air a bit late at 10:11 UT, November 27th for their English broadcast, with today's commentary, and at 10:15, Today in History. Dave Kinney reports to the British DS Club a surprise frequency change for IRRS Shortwave Italy Non, 7275, for the hour at 19 to 20 UT. On the former frequency, 7290, there had been some adjacent channel interference from China on 7295, but 7275 is in the clear. Unfortunately, World of Radio is not currently on that frequency, just their medium wave relay in Italy, 1323. About Radio Rossi being heard on 1215 kHz reported last week. In Rusty X, they say, yes, it is from the Bolshakovo site in Kaliningrad. It was a test event planned for a week, a daily test or in the evening for several hours. Goal to operate the transmitter continuously and study areas of confident reception with 150 kilowatts. In IRCA, Steve, VE6WZ in Alberta, reports hearing V7AB in Majuro, Marshall Islands on 1098 kHz. Their anthem starts up shortly after 1130 UT, like 1132, but after that, nothing more is to be heard, but the carrier stays on past his sunrise. In fact, it never shuts off. He says it seems crazy. They don't power down. A waste of power. He reported and got a reply from the station on November 22nd saying the power had been reduced from 10 to 7 watts, surely meaning 7 kilowatts. It had been listed as 25 kilowatts, and he says they do have a backup transmitter called an NX-25. In the past, I've also traced a carrier on 1098 here in Oklahoma, presumably from Marshall Islands. On 540 kHz, I often hear Los Cuarenta. That's the slogan for Top 40, apparently, from XEWA in San Luis Potosí, SLP, Mexico, such as November 28th at 0640. They're playing a lot of pop songs, mostly in Spanish, but some in English. It's licensed for 150 kilowatts, but Tim Hall in the IRCA list thinks it's probably much less now. Also, as I hear it, there is what I would call a rippling sub-audible heterodyne, indicating it's considerably off-frequency. The MW Offsets list showed it at 539.9732 as of last February. That would be 26.8 hertz low. The time to DX Mexico is Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Central, now 0400 UT Mondays, such as November 25th. That's when most stations carry the government-sponsored program La Hora Nacional. I was checking on November 25th, but found the programming was not in parallel. In fact, they were 50 seconds apart from XEG to XERF, 1050 to 1570. So apparently stations get the program pre-fed and play it back individually. In the NASA flash sheet, Ralph Perry in Illinois reports on 5915 Myanmar radio in Naypyidaw. November 20th, a pretty good signal. Choral music from TuneIn at 1233. And a late start for their 8 p.m. national news at 1236. A woman with a sweet lilting voice and sing-song intonation in Burmese. At 1243, wonderful, funky, exotic, xylophone-type breaker music. And end of the news program at 1249. And orchestral music with a balladeer. Country and Western-style electric guitar pop song runs across the top of the hour with the signal fading. He also heard it on November 23rd. A nice signal at 1252, sing-song in Burmese. And familiar plinky-plonky tuning signal on xylophone. Bridging to a local pop love song with full band accompaniment. Like I reported last week for November 19th, once again on November 23rd, the Antichrist North American Pirate, Station YHWH on 7475, was running very late again, still going at 0738 UT. From telesputnik.ru, in translation via Rusty X, Radio Center number 7 with a Soviet-era jammer continues to be demolished near Irkutsk. The Federal State Unitary Enterprise, Russian TV and Radio Broadcasting Network, RTRS, has announced another tender for the demolition of equipment from Radio Center number 7 in the city of Angarsk in the Irkutsk region. In Soviet times, it was used to jam Western radio stations in the country. A Telesputnik correspondent found the relevant data in the government procurement database. Information about the next tender in electronic form appeared in the database on November 14th. The deadline for submitting applications is December 2nd. The initial maximum contract price was 117 mega rubles. According to the technical part of the accompanying documentation, two technical buildings, an engineering building, buildings for administrative and management personnel, a club canteen, a carpentry workshop, three non-residential buildings, an antenna pavilion building, a communication and signaling cable, an artesian well with a pump will now be demolished. In addition, the contractor will dismantle the checkpoint and guardhouse, the territory fence, the switchgear building, an on-site improved dirt road, several sections of the adjacent road, three cable lines, a complete transformer substation, and a sawmill. There you have it. One never knows which of the four Radio Exterior de España shortwave frequencies will be on the air or off, especially for their token English at 23 to 2330 UT, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. On Friday, November 22nd, our North American frequency, 9690, was missing. It was back on, however, on the following Monday and Wednesday. If it's missing, we can usually hear it well enough off the back of the Middle Eastern beam on 12030. However, on Tuesday, November 26th, the missing frequency was 17715 for South America. Something's never nominal at Noblejas. Monday, December 1st marks the 100th anniversary of the very low frequency station in Sweden, SAQ, so they're carrying out a special broadcast. Thanks to Mike Terry for all the details from their website. The unique Alex Anderson alternator from 1924, callsign SAQ, is scheduled for one transmission over the antenna on VLF, 17.2 kHz CW. They're selling tickets for visitors to attend this at the station at Grimaton. The schedule in UT is, at 09, the doors to the transmitter hall open. At 9:20, the live YouTube broadcast begins. At 9:30, startup of the alternator, and at 10 UT, transmission of the message. Implied, if you can't actually hear it on VLF, you can witness the event live on YouTube. And there'll also be test transmissions for November 29th between 13 and 16 Central European Time, 12 and 15 UT, airing for shorter periods of time, carrying out tuning and measurements. Their address is info@alexander.n.se. And the welcome reports for QSL. Or a guaranteed EQSL, use their online form. It's available from December 1st to 20th. Also, their ham station SK6SAQ will be operating on the morning of the broadcast in CW at 17.2 kHz, above the bottom edge of the 3.5, 7, and 14 MHz bands. Also an SSB on 3755 and 7140. More details on the website, alexander.n.se. Media Magazine, you monitor with your mind. World of Radio, 2271. A non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Voluntary financial support appreciated. Via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. Or by money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684. ENID, OK, 73702. My almost daily checks of English from the Voice of Turkey for North America, 5960 at 23 UT, found that in the past week, it was missing on November 22nd and 26th. That is, on Friday and Tuesday. Fortunately, they were on the air on Sunday when there's their letterbox program. This week, on November 24th, it was hosted by the other woman, Sylvia, I think she said her name was. She's all pro forma with very quick shout-outs, acknowledging reception dates, promising QSLs and greetings, but not dealing with anything substantial such as answering questions. Even though her accent is not a problem, she spoke so quickly and with imperfect reception, I could not be sure of the countries called or the names of the listeners. There were only 8 of them this time. And during the letterbox program, there were features about Teacher's Day and even playing some songs, padding it out, which is rather lame. Via IRCA, Mike Sanborn sends a story from WXIX about the VOA Bethany station, now referred to as Westchester, Ohio. The site is currently under renovations, making it inaccessible to guests until mid-January, when it will be open to the public again for tours. It closed down on November 14, 1994, 30 years ago. Checking a World of Radio broadcast on 1323 kHz from Italy, Friday, November 22nd at 21:30, I was surprised to hear a fragment of Democracy Now! Just before, but that was not the previous program during the half hour at 2100. Instead, it was Wavescan, just a few seconds of Amy Goodman. Democracy Now! Is not anywhere on the IRRS schedule, but it might be among numerous unspecified but filler programs they put on the air. It's well worth listening to more deliberately. Check out their website for stations carrying it, www.democracynow.org. They also have podcasts. I see it's not on a single radio station in Oklahoma, Democracy Not Now, but on some cable TV and lots of cable listings around the world. Yes, it's also a TV program as well as radio. Our World of Radio broadcast via WTWW 5085 was missing again UT Saturday, November 23rd at 0400. McClintock explained later the number 2 transmitter would not come on because of low water level, a small leak not found but might be in the heat exchanger. His son John was going to look for that shortly. It was on the air the next night, and let's hope it will continue to be. Anyhow, I urge you to keep checking for our World of Radio broadcast, UT Saturday 0400 on 5085, which, if on the air, provides very good reception all over North America and beyond. Checking Cuba listings in the Alki list on 15230, I noted something incredibly still in there, WWRB on 15240, with Radio Monansi at 15-21 UT. That has been off the air for at least 6 years. That clandestine for Uganda. The Alki list is very good for up-to-date info, but is reluctant to delete out-of-date info, it seems. Here's quite an oddity. Visiting West Pittston, Pennsylvania, Hugh Whalen was hearing a strong signal on 4650 at 1416 UT, November 27th, identifying as Wilkins Radio Network. This, of course, is not listed in any shortwave references. As Arthur Posner soon pointed out, it's actually the third harmonic of a local station, WITK 1550. And it so happens there's a remote receiver very nearby in Duryea, Pennsylvania. I also tuned in that remote around 19 UT November 27th and was seeing in the waterfall signals every 1.55 MHz on up at least past 30 MHz. So I picked out the 15th harmonic of 1550, and there it was, on 23250. It's WITK, which is attributed to Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, the nearest big city. Possibly some of those harmonics, besides 4650, would propagate further, but it's obviously a case of local overload, if their harmonic radiation is certainly excessive. Arthur Posner says, this QBSDR must be very close to the transmitter, most likely 2 to 3 kilometers. Night power is 500 watts, but it's equally as bad. The assigned fundamental 1550 is 60 over S9. Strongest is the third harmonic on 4650, 40 over 9. Practically all odd harmonics are pretty strong, some highly distorted. The even harmonics are very low after dark. Just wondering if the Kiwi and Hughes Air Spy are both overloaded to a point of passing fairly high-level RF. And Rodney Johnson in Minnesota replies, Either the carrier exciter is overdriven, to the point of putting out square waves, where odd harmonics are stronger than even ones is typical. Just look at a Fourier series of it at mathworld.wolfram.com. Or the receiver front end is severely overloaded, clipping the incoming carrier in a square-like fashion. Since an exciter running like this would likely melt or start a fire, it is more likely the latter. The big switcheroo in San Francisco and IRC DX monitor, John Perkins says KSFO 560 and KGO 810 plan to simulcast KSFO programming until the end of the year, according to station announcers. Presumably, the KSFO call letters will then move to 810. It's hard to conceive of a business case for KGO's money-losing sports betting format to suddenly reappear on 560 in January, after leaving 810 a sesquimonth earlier. So, what will happen to 560? The two towers have already been integrated into industrial lands with protected wetlands nearby, leaving just the small amount of real estate surrounding each tower. Another Bay Area AM station with an existing tower site worth a lot as real estate could easily justify moving to 560 using KSFO's current towers. From Carl Zuck, New York, via Mike Sanborn, IRCA, WNYC AM 820 has an all-digital test planned. New York Public Radio applied to FCC for an experimental authorization to test the all-digital MA3 format on Sunday, December 8. It will run that one day and perhaps extend an hour into the nighttime period. It's on 820 with 10 kilowatts day, 1 kilowatt night. Different antenna patterns from the WMCA tower site in Kearny, New Jersey. Representatives from the NAB and Xperi will be on hand to monitor the operation, evaluate the MA3 format in an urban environment, and see how it may interact with co-channel WSHE in Frederick, Maryland, which is also all digital on the same frequency 820. From Radio World, November 25th, by Nick Langan, Odyssey proposes to move WCCO's transmitter from iconic site, Coon Rapids, Minnesota, where it's been for nearly a century. Its auxiliary site is along Bunker Lake Boulevard in Ramsey, 4 miles to the northwest of the current site. It will continue to run 50 kilowatts in the daytime, but proposes to reduce night power to only 45 kilowatts. The auxiliary antenna is shorter and will result in a slight diminishing of the station's skywage coverage. See, that's AUDACY, is on the road to recovery after filing for bankruptcy in January of this year. Probably an unrelated coincidence, November 28th at 0737, I had dead air at 37 over S9 on 830, which must have been WCCO. November 25th at 0407 UT on 880 kHz, I heard a Spanish ID as Radiovisión Latina 106.1 FM. This must have been KJOZ, Conroe, Texas, for the Houston market, although it's not listed as such. Stephen Luce in Houston says, Glenn, you are correct. KJOZ 880 is the originating station for K291 CE, 106.1 in Houston. KJOZ has been leased by numerous programmers in recent years, sometimes hard to keep track of changes. La Calle is a different format, currently heard on several translators and LPFMs on 102.5 in the greater Houston metro area. And yet another AM-FM quandary I encountered on 1600, November 26th at 0443, an ID as BIN 103.7. That's the Black Information Network. Usually KATZ in St. Louis is the dominant station at night on that frequency. But it's known as Hallelujah 1600, nothing to do with BIN. Investigating some other possibilities, I found that searching on BIN 103.7 leads right to St. Louis. But there is no 103.7 in Missouri near St. Louis. Actually, it's across the bridge in Illinois, W279AQ, licensed to Mascoutah. However, its transmitter site is in Missouri on the southwestern edge of St. Louis. And poor little Mascoutah is barely within the fringe contour. The 4940 station, thought to be in Venezuela but with ties to Colombia, was missing on November 23rd and 24th. However, it was back as of the 25th, says Eric Fetters-Walp in Washington State, and I was also hearing it at 0744 UT November 26th, when on it is often on the air overnight at least, with a carrier audible on 4940. In transatlantic, just barely audible medium-wave carrier searches, I often have one on 711 kHz, thought to be Western Sahara, although it's possibly a Cuban spoiler. November 25th at 0426, I was listening to the remote in the Canary Islands, and it was getting a good signal on 711, and with a heterodyne on the lower side, which was likely from Cuba, a reverse to what I usually hear direct. Western Sahara, of course, has been occupied by Morocco. I call this a Moroccan imperialist high-power outlet listed 300 kilowatts. And this led Ron Howard to check it out via the remote in Tenerife, Canary Islands, 711 kilohertz, SNRT, the National Broadcasting and Television Society, Public Broadcasting Company of Morocco, or Alidat al-Amazighia, at 0512 UT, November 27th, with indigenous music and singing. He says the station is dedicated to Berber culture, broadcasting from the Western Sahara at the Layoun or El Ayoun transmitter site with around 300 kilowatts. Here's news from NASFA about next year's SWL Fest. Save the date, April 25th and 26th, 2025. They scheduled the 2024 Fest with very short notice, wound up with the Fest on Mother's Day weekend. While we succeeded in moving the fest away from the dicey late winter weather that plagues the Philadelphia region, we missed out seeing many folks in person because they had scheduling conflicts. We decided we liked the spring time frame for the fest, so selected a weekend that keeps us clear from April 15th, tax day in the U.S. as well as Mother's Day. We will keep the same venue, Holiday Inn and Suites, Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. The location worked well for us. As last year, we need to cap in-person participation to ensure we don't overload the meeting room. We are expecting more in-person participation. Check the website for updates, www.swlfest.com, April 25th and 26th. From Lenta.ru News, November 19th via Rusty X. Head of the Solar Astronomy Laboratory of Space Research Institute of the Russian Academy of Sciences, Sergei Bogachev, admitted that the maximum activity of the sun in the current cycle will be observed in the summer of 2025. He told RIA Novosti that it will not be possible to predict the exact dates of record flares and magnetic storms. 2025 is the most likely year of maximum solar activity. There are different scenarios. Most of them point to spring-summer of next year as the time of the expected peak. Bogachev added, the schedule of flares and storms is impossible to predict, due to the fact that active centers of the sun usually live no more than 2 or 4 weeks. Thus, those groups of spots that will determine activity of the next year have not even been born yet. The propagation outlook from SWPC issued November 25th. Geomagnetic field likely to be unsettled to active November 29th and 30th, December 6th to 8th, 11th to 14th, and 16th to 20th. Mostly quiet periods are likely on November 25th to 28th, December 1st to 5th, 9th to 10th, 15th, and 21st. ANK indices peaking at 15 and 3 December 12th, 12 and 4 December 6th, 7th, and 19th, 10 and 3 on December 8th, 11th, and 13th. Solar flux rising from 205 November 30th to 220 December 8th, and down to 205 again by December 20th. Remember to check our website for much more info, worldofradio.com. With many thanks to all our stations and contributors. Hoping you'll hear me again next week. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2271 with a standard disclaimer.